Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and what a great morning it is, every Saturday morning, an opportunity to get up and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you and to use you to glorify God. What a great, great opportunity. I thank you. Father God, we just thank you this morning for all the blessings. Father, we don't even want to ask why, when, what, and where. We're just going to trust you. We're going to know that what you said is what it is, and don't doubt that, because that's your plan, and we are part of your plan. But Father God, this morning I just ask you to give us the strength, the wisdom, the understanding to just fight off any thoughts other than your thoughts. Anything that takes us away from what you say, Father God, we need your help. We need Jesus to help us to stay focused on what you're asking us to do. And we can do that because all things are possible through Jesus Christ. We just thank you this morning, Father God, and we ask that a blessing be bestowed upon every mother and daughter around the world as it penetrates into the Father and Son, creating a healthier, godly family. We love you for it. We stand for mothers and daughters around the world, creating a whole new generation so that we can fulfill your will before the return of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you. We love you. We appreciate you and all that you do for us in spite of our failures and in our thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father God, we just thank you. I thank you out there, my listeners. I am so excited. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. It's an exciting time for the organization. It's an exciting time for things that's happening with the radio program. For those of you that was not on last week, we have been selected as a featured program for Blog Talk Radio. We have a larger listening body than I even expected. It's just off the hook. I hate to even say it because I wasn't paying attention to numbers. I was just basically doing what the Lord asked me to do, get up on Saturday mornings and allow the Holy Spirit to just speak through me. And I never look at the numbers. I don't look at the switchboard and see who's there and da-da-da-da-da. I don't do that until the very end. So I focus on what God is saying through me and allowing myself to release myself to that. Because if you start getting in with the numbers and who's there and who's not there, and you know, it just gets to be crazy. Or how many people listening, going back and checking the stats. I just didn't do that. And to my surprise, we have such a large listening audience. I mean, I was just really kind of blown away. I really was. And Blog Talk has selected our program as a featured program. We are in the process of changing. And we'll have sponsors. So I'm just letting you know in a couple of weeks that things are happening with the program. We will have sponsors on the program. So therefore, we're going to have to break up the dialogue a little bit so that we can give sponsors an opportunity in the beginning. The way it's going to work is that when I get through with the prayer, we'll have a sponsor and play maybe one or two. And then when I start, I do an announcement or so, then we'll play a sponsor. And then I get into the thought for the day. And when I get in the thought for the day, I won't break that up. I'll just let that flow, so that'll be the way that it is now. After that, then we may have a sponsor, and then we'll open it up for conversation. I'm not sure, you know, I'm speaking as if these are all the sponsors that we're getting, but this is kind of like, this is the way it's going to work, so you can get a general idea. And somewhere in the midst of the conversation, I may break for a commercial in that. And then we'll just work it on out, and maybe a commercial at the end. So therefore, you got a general picture of what it is to come. I'm new at this. I'm being trained by Blog Talk staff. The gentleman, Nicholas, that is training me has over 1 million listeners. And so, you know, of course, we know we're close to that. But the fact that he has a million listeners tells you they've assigned me someone that has a lot of experience. He's a very nice guy. I enjoy it. He's very patient with me. He's training me how to do this, and so I can emulate what he is doing. So we got some more training this week, and hopefully we'll have all this thing worked out. But in the meantime, we keep going the way that we're going. Blog Talk, listen to our program. They like the content. They like what we're doing. Everybody's not featured. So if you know anything about Blog Talk, if you're featured, it's like being syndicated. Therefore, they market you, and they have over 600 million listeners. So therefore, they market you to a lot of people. Things are changing. And we thank God for it. It has nothing to do with me. It's only a blessing from God. We've been diligent, and we've stuck on our path, and God is honoring that. So whatever you're doing, just be diligent with it. Don't give up. Just keep going, because God is watching you. He knows what you're doing, and he has a plan for you. Did I do it all right? No. I figured out struggling and still, you know, making sure I try to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. So I just want you to know we don't have to be perfect beings to allow God to use us and be blessed by God. This is just the beginning of many things that God is doing right now, but Lord knows the journey. It was rough there for a moment. I could see a little light. And so I want to thank all the listeners. You've been with me. You've stuck with me from the beginning. Being a part of the conversation, my co-host, you know, when they can, if they're not gone, they're here. I mean, I know that it's not easy, because I have to do it every day. I'm assigned to do it. I'm anointed to do it. And I just believe in my heart and soul, God anointed you to be a part of it, to help me do it. So just like Jesus, he had to have, and I'm not saying I'm Jesus, don't get that wrong. I'm just saying just like Jesus, he had 12 people that was around him. So we cannot be an island unto ourselves. If that's when the enemy can get us. He can pluck us off when we're by ourselves. But if we got 12 people, two or three good people that surround us, that's focused, and we're all working for the same person, and that's the Heavenly Father, he cannot pluck us off. He cannot pluck all of us off, because we're there to help strengthen each other. When one is falling, the other one can pick the other up. And that's what I like about my mother and daughter relationship with my daughter. When I'm kind of, I take my eyes off the word and dipping, she pulls me right back up. When she's doing it, I pull her right back up. And I got friends and cousins and co-workers and things of this nature, and my family here in Florida, that they do that for me. So I'm hoping that I do that for you as well, and we can just keep lifting each other up so that we can get the word out the way the Lord will have us get it out. And I just want to say thank you so very, very much. This is not a featured program about Dr. Bessie. This is a featured program about all of us, and I wanted to take that moment before we got into anything else to say thank you so very, very much. And that don't mean stop. Let's keep going. We don't want to change anything. We want to keep it going. Some people say to me, well, maybe you might want to change this. And no, I'm not changing nothing, because this is not my program. I'm going to do it just the way the Lord said. You know, so well and good, they chose us, but that's not going to be the all in all. So nothing is changing except for commercials being in there, and we're going straight on unless the Lord says something different. Other than that, it is what it is, and I'm going to keep doing it the way I do it. They like it the way, they chose it the way we're doing it, and we're not changing it. We're going to keep doing it the same way. You're here, and you're the one that is causing it to be selected because it's the numbers. And I won't go into numbers right now, but I'm telling you the numbers are staggering to me. It's just like, whew. But thank you, my listening audience. Again, for the new people that are coming on, I am your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and you are here on Blog Talk Radio, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. You know, get on your phones, text your friends, email them, tell them to call 347-539-5078 to listen to the program. We want to join in on the conversation. When we get into the dialogue part, you know, click one, and I'll see when I get to the switchboard, I'll see that you've clicked one, and I will make sure I get to you. And I know a lot of times, you know, a lot of people don't click one because, you know, talking on the radio sometimes it's not easy as some people think because they get a little nervous about it, but that's okay. I know you're listening. I know you're there, and I want you to know that I appreciate you. You don't have to talk if you don't want to talk. I know you're getting it. I can see that you're there, and I definitely see the numbers knowing that somebody's out there listening in the thousands. I mean, way up there. So I really, really appreciate it. A stimulating topic this morning deals with mothers need to be godly mothers in order to breed godly mothers. Did you get that? Mothers need to be godly mothers in order to breed godly mothers. Just think about that as I go on into a couple of announcements. Now, the thing that I want you to do is look at going with us on the cruise this year. Let's just go have some fun, do some education. It's November the 17th. It's a 6-day. Call Gina at 813-868-0007. That's 813-868-0007. Tell her you want to go on the mother and daughter cruise. We're going to Kirks and Caicos. We're going to the Bahamas, and I think it's Key West. So join us. You're going to have fun. It's going to open up to a lot of people starting, I think, next weekend. Of course, we got a lot here now, but I'm just saying when they start doing the advertisement, it's going to kind of blast. I hope you've seen we've done the new picture, the new outline for Ask Dr. Bessie, the television show. We want you to be aware of that we may be coming to your town quite soon. In the meantime, if you have a story to tell and you want to talk to Dr. Bessie as well, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's drbessie1@gmail.com. A lot of you do email me. A lot of you do have questions, and we are working at making sure that we get that done. I want you all to just lift this whole concept up in prayer and thanksgiving with God, because God has placed on my heart that we are now on a campaign, and the campaign is to save our future mothers. I want you to remember this. This is a campaign. This is what we're going out on, saving our future mothers, which are our daughters today. Now, we've been using this phrase throughout our program. You know, Sandra and Cynthia Oliver and Kim and Ms. Gertrude, you know, that's been the thing. You know, I've been telling them, I've been talking about our future mothers, you know, which are our daughters today, our future mothers. And God placed that in my mind, but then I didn't quite know what it was. And then all of a sudden last week it just hit me. He said, that's your campaign. That's the campaign you're going out on. The campaign and to save the future mothers, which are our daughters today. Not that. Lord, you gave me that at least, I know, 4 or 5 years ago. We've been talking about it. Never knew that was the campaign. So we are on a campaign to bring as many mothers and daughters together. The website, Lord knows, pray for the website. It has been going through some changes. So the enemy does not want this website to come out. So whenever you think about it out there listening audience, just say, God, we thank you for the website. We thank you for the speedy results to this website, that it gets completed so that we can go ahead and utilize it to glorify your kingdom. Just whenever you think about it, just thank him for it. I truly appreciate that. The enemy is trying to stop that website. Well, on that website, we have, God gave me an idea of Mothers Helping Mothers, and that's where that come in. We're looking for 10 million mothers and daughters to come together. So we're on the campaign. That means every mother and daughter that you know, which really kind of equates to every woman, because every woman is a daughter. So don't think in your mind that, oh, well, I know Mary, she works with me, but Mary doesn't have she doesn't have a daughter. No, don't think like that. Think of every woman being a daughter, and every woman has a mother. So there is a mother and daughter relationship there for every woman. So as many women as you can, which represent mother or daughter, we are wanting you to have them sign up and just be a part of the body so that we can come together. And that one thought, and can you just imagine with all of those women coming together, our thoughts and our energy coming together, and we're praying for our future mothers, what a change is going to happen in this world. That's the beginning of our journey to reach out and to save our future mothers, which are our daughters today. I hope that wasn't too much. And to simplify it, we are looking just to come together and unite in the position of focusing on mothers. Mothers, whoever you are, whatever you have, is who you're going to reproduce. And that's what we're talking about. Mothers need to be godly mothers in order to breed godly mothers. All right, those are our announcements. Let's see. Mother and Daughter Bonding Faith Ministries, we thank you. A lot of people are working behind the scenes on that. We thank our co-hosts, Sandra D., Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo, for being co-hosts. If there are anyone else out there that want to be a co-host, you can also, you know, sometimes when they're not here, we can I can use somebody else to be on here to talk with me, because this, remember, this whole program is about a conversation. It's about a dialogue. I put the thought out there, and when I put the thought out there, as the Holy Spirit gave it to me, then I have to have somebody to discuss it, because otherwise it's just no interaction to it. You need to broaden the minds and hear what people have to say, and sometimes we need that person to make sure that we have somebody there that can help me broaden that thought. Because whatever you have to say, I guarantee you somebody out there needs to hear that. It's just not about what I'm saying. You know, God has put you in place. You hear, it's a thought that comes in your mind. Think about it. Share it. If you can't share it, email it to me. And when you email it to me, I can relate it if you don't want to do it yourself. Okay? Thank you so very much. And let's see where we are. Last week, and all during the year, we're talking about a wake-up call. Everything is kind of geared around waking up the thoughts in you. You know, we have it. We have what God has given us. But sometimes we get just complacent with it, you know, because we got so many different communication pieces that's directing their energy into our heads, into our thoughts. So if you think of your mind as a computer, and you have all of these information systems that is just connected to it, it's filtering your mind with their thought, commercials, television, you know, conversations, just billboards, newspapers, radio programs, just looking at people. All those things generate some kind of thought that just kind of takes a part of your conversation, your intro conversation. And you have to be very careful on how you receive information. You got to know when to cut things off. If somebody's dumping on you and always got to tell you their problems and da 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 da, you know, sometimes you have to say, if it's bothering you, you have to say, you know what, this is bothering me, so I got so much on my mind, I can't receive all this. Then you have to know how much to take it, how much not to take if it's bothering you. Unlike a psychologist, I'm trained mentally, spiritually, ordained. That's what I do. That's, you know, to listen. So I don't get overload when I'm in the mode of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is using me to be a mouthpiece until afterwards. But even at that, I have to rest. And then I have to have someone else to talk to as well. So we're not an island by ourselves. So when I say all that, I'm saying we have got to mine our mind. We have to. And mine our mind means we have to focus on it, make sure it's healthy, make sure we're receiving healthy information. And, again, it brings us back to mothers need to be godly mothers in order to breed godly mothers. Now, how do I do that? You know, we're going to continue from our conversation. Last week we were talking about what are you sowing into your mother and daughter relationship. Now, that's deep within itself. Because everything you do, you are sowing into your mother and daughter relationship. May it be negative or positive, and there are only two forces. You are sowing into your mother and daughter relationship. Your attitude, the things you don't say, speak louder than the things that you're saying. Because that energy that you're sending out without a verbal attached to it, the person have to make a have to define that energy. And they may define the energy to be one thing when actually it wasn't what you intended, but they can tell if that energy is from a good place or from a bad place. That's why when you walk into a room and you can tell when somebody's talking about you, because your energy will just attach itself to any thoughts about you. You could be in your house and you can, you know, get this thought. Somebody's talking about you somewhere. Somebody's doing something. But that's out of your control. The point is, you are so powerful, not only with your words, but with your thoughts. And your thoughts create visions. And once you see it on your mind's eye, it's going to be hard for somebody to convince you that is not a reality. And in most cases, it is not the reality. How many times have you been scared to death and shaken and nervous and tense and the conversation telling you all these things that's going to happen? Oh, girl, this is going to happen. They're going to come and they're going to do this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those things never happen. Just think about that. How many times? And they never happen. Things happen when you least expect. Most of the times when you haven't even thought about it, boom, something just jump out of the, like, out of the woodwork. Boom, right upon you. That's why you have to mind your mind, so that you be in peace, so that you be in a position that your body and your energy will be in balance with your thoughts. So last week we talked about what are you sowing into your mother and daughter relationship. Then the mother and daughter relationship, what are you sowing? Are you sowing good energy? Are you sowing good words? Are you sowing the things that you expect to get from your daughter? In the Bible, it used what? Seeds. You know, most people know when you go out and you plant a seed, even if you're not familiar with farming, and which I am, you know, planting gardens and whatever, you know, it's like to me, our garden looked like a farm because it's about an acre. Garden, that to me was a farm. And having to harvest that, it was okay planting them, but boy, when you got to go out there and hoe the grass and pluck the grass and the weeds to keep it from overtaking the plants when they're coming up, you know, that's, I want you to look at your relationship with your daughter and think, are you hoeing around the plant? Are you grooming that plant? Are you taking away the weed? Because, you know, those negative thoughts are like crabgrass. It will wrap around that plant and choke it to death. And therefore, you've lost the crop. So being a godly mother, how do you become a godly mother? You may say, you know, I'm doing the very best I can. Now, let me say this first. Being a godly mother doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Now, there's not. Don't even look for perfection here. You're only perfect through Jesus Christ. But you're going to do the very best you can. But being a godly mother, there are a few things that you need to do so that you can rear a godly daughter. So when you look at that, you're looking at when you sow, what are you sowing? Are you sowing love? When you sow love, you expect a return on that seed of love. Now think about that. And I'm going to go here with this because I'm going to give you something that you really can relate to. When you fall in love with someone, a male, you are expecting them to fall in love with you. You're expecting them, when you do something for them, you're expecting them to do something for you. When it comes to falling in love, love, the word love, you know, just drive people sometimes insane. People are dead because of their interpretation of love. But you don't give love and say, oh, well, you know, I don't want him to love me back. I'm just going to love on him. I don't care if he doesn't speak to me. I don't care if he doesn't buy me flowers. I don't care. You don't take me out to dinner. You know, I don't care about anything. You don't have to talk. I'm just going to love him. Very few people do that. That's not normal anyway. The other thing is when you sow money, when you put money out there, you expecting and you invest money into something, you expecting a return on your investment. See, that's sowing. Yeah, we sow money. A lot of people go out and they will buy lottery tickets. I'm not talking negative about lottery tickets. I'm using it as an example. They'll buy a lottery ticket, and when they get that lottery ticket, they already spending the money. In their minds, when I win, oh, Lord, if I win the lottery, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy so-and-so this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get me a house. I'm going to pay off my bills. And you start spending because what you're doing is setting your mind up for expectation. But how many people out of the millions that buy a lottery ticket win? But everyone has an expectation. Otherwise, you wouldn't buy it. Millions of people have a thought on that one winning number. You know, everybody's hoping that their number is the winning number. So you're expecting. The other thing is time. You expect a return on your time. If you spend a lot of time with someone or doing something, you're expecting a return. You spend a lot of time in church and you're working and you're doing and you say, well, I'm doing this for you, Lord. But really, you're expecting something. You're expecting God to bless you because, you know, I'm doing this for you, Lord. I'm spending my time, you know, I'm singing every Sunday or I'm doing this and I'm helping with this committee and that committee. And you run back and forth and, you know, I'm spending my time. I'm giving my time to you. You expecting for God to bless you. And why am I saying all this? Because whatever you sow, you're going to receive according to that sowing. So if you're not a godly mother, how do you expect to have a godly daughter? That daughter would have to get into the word, attach yourself to someone else in order to get, if you're not a godly mother, in order for her to become a godly mother. And I know some mothers and daughters that are like that. The mother is still out in the world and the daughter is a godly woman. And you say to yourself, how did that happen? Because what? She sought God for herself. But wouldn't it be so much easier, especially you mothers that have young girls, is to become a godly mother and enjoy the relationship from that perspective with your daughter as opposed to being on the opposite end of the spectrum. So you say, how do I become a godly mother? First, you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Second, you got to read the Word of God. And third, you got to be a doer of the Word of God. And that puts you right in the game. That gives you all the things that you need. And when you read in the Word of God, you're going to ask for what? Wisdom and understanding of what you're reading. Because keep in mind, a word, one word, may have millions of interpretations and meanings according to the person and their experience and where they are mentally. So you have to ask for instruction. So as you do according to the word of God and you become more and more like Jesus, then the word of God become alive in you, and then you start, you become a new creature, and then you become a godly mother. And as your daughter watch you, she will see what you do, and she will emulate that. Little girls emulate their mothers. So this is not a beat you up session. It's just that in order for us to have a lot of expectations of good from our daughters, we've got to produce good. They've got to see the good in us in order to know how to do good, to act good, to become godly. But we also got to be able to be vulnerable enough to say to our daughters, I'm not a perfect mother, and you're not going to be a perfect mother. But what we can do is that we can be there for each other. And whenever one is weak, the other one can encourage the other one. That's what it's about. That's when they say fellowship. And a lot of times people, and that's a whole other thing, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but from my opinion, fellowshipping is when you are lifting each other up when it seems like they're slipping, because, you know, we all go through our periods of challenges. And the closer you become a doer of the word, the more you're trying to do it right, the challenges come, because it's just like a game of, let's say, bowling. You have all the pins up. Everything looked good. You heard the word. God has given you wisdom on the word. You got an understanding on the word. And so all your pins are up. And then all of a sudden, this big ball comes around, and it tries to knock them down. But if you don't have the word in you strong enough, then you may fall. But just think, if you got 10 pins around you and you're all strong, you know, that ball, somehow or another with that energy, will roll off to the side into the gutter and go around you. Now, think about that. That's how you're going to protect your daughter. That's how you're going to protect your grandchildren. You've got to be the model. Don't let someone on television be the model for your daughter. You are the model. You are the one. God gave her to you. You got to show up and show out. Can a mother be her daughter's best friend? I say yes. And the reason I say yes, as long as you know and she knows that there are certain guidelines that fall in our relationship, and you can't go past this, like disrespect, cursing at me. There's certain things you just can't do. But as far as being the best friend, we can laugh and we can have the best time. We can shop together, eat together, go on vacation together, just sit around and do nothing but look at each other. You know, godly only means good. Show the good, they will see the good, and they will want the good. It's just like Joseph, when he was telling his brothers, go tell my father I'm alive. Well, he's not going to believe that, he said. And he said, well, here. He loaded up 10 donkeys with goods, diamonds, rubies, food, silk, cloth, just loaded them down and said, take him this and he will believe. When he see, he will believe. And that's what it amounts to with our daughters. When they see the good, when they see that diamond in you, when they see that even when something hit you, you stand anyway. And you said, you know what, I'm still going to believe God. I don't care. We're going to believe God, and this too will pass. And when it passed, those kids are going to say, you know what, when they get older, I remember when these certain things happened to my mother or my father, and they stood. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to do the same thing. It worked for them, so why wouldn't it work for me? So keep in mind, godly mothers only produce godly mothers. You cannot, and you, some people saying, and it comes from my mind, and I don't know who said this, but it just came up my spirit. So I said, yeah, I'm a godly mother, but my daughter's out there acting real crazy right now. You know, Dr. Fletcher, how does that work? How is it? She doesn't look godly to me. Oh, yeah. If you raised her from the beginning, and they say you can't skip and think you can just pass. You got to have it in them from the time they were babies. See, if you had that and you produced and you've shown godliness all during the time when that child was 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, oh, it's in her. And the challenge is, well, are you going to believe that it's in her? It is in her. And it will reproduce. And you think back, we all went through what we went through, and we did some little crazy stuff ourselves. We came from godly parents, but we did some crazy stuff. But we got through it. Look where we are now. So we got to allow the process. We got to allow them to have their testimonies, and we got to allow them to build their relationship with God on their own, or be there as a supporter. That's my take on mothers being godly mothers, you know, rearing godly mothers. And how do you do that? It's through your words, because your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions create your reality. So if you don't like the daughter that you see, change what you're saying about the daughter. And see what happens. Okay. I'm at the switchboard now. And let's see who's up here. Let's see. I think this is my co-host here. This is Cynthia.
Hey, how are you this morning, darling?
I am just fine. How are you?
I'm good. I really am very good. Looking forward to today. And all is well. Again, a conversation well needed. Talking about mothers being godly in order that their children are godly, their daughters are godly. You said a couple of things that really stuck out for me. There's a diamond in you. There's a diamond in the rough waiting to be birthed in our daughters and our sons when we are the right example, when we plant the right seeds. Because we, too, were lost in that roughness, if you will. And because we are examples of what can happen, how much more we know that can happen for our daughters, our sons, when we do our part as mothers. I heard you say, you challenge your mothers and saying, I'm doing the best I can. Well, if the best ain't working, you need to step up your game. You've got to get into the word. You've got to seek wisdom and knowledge in order to share wisdom and knowledge. You can't give them anything you don't have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting here and I'm really smiling because I remember how rough I was as a mother. And you know, and the audience probably know, those who are constantly listening to us, I don't have sons. I mean, I don't have daughters. I have sons. But it applies to each of us. If you are a mother, you have a responsibility to foster that diamond because they have been given to you. And so I challenge mothers and daughters around the world to step up their game, to seek the wisdom and knowledge. You know, Matter of fact, last night I said something to my husband. We were talking about we had a conversation about some things that was going on within the family. And one of the things I put out there, when you don't know something, pick up a book and read. You don't know how to love your daughter. You don't know how to cultivate the relationship. Pick up a book. It'll help you. So that's my take on it. You said so many things this morning that just sparked my attention and got my mind going. And that's what this thing is on Saturday mornings. We want to get your mind going in order that you can change not only your life, but the life of your daughter. And that's my take on it, Dr. Fletcher. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia. Good take on it. That is so true. You know, we're here basically just to stimulate your thoughts. Not that we have all the answers. We're not trying to be a know-it-all. We're just having a conversation in an area that is so needed. As mothers, we really are the head of the nurturing piece of the family. I don't want to take anything away from fathers and sons, but we know that mothers are the nurturers and that, you know, you can make or break a child. You can say something really ugly to your child, and that child will be ruined for life because they just look at the mother and they think, mother's supposed to know it all. So, you know, it's not an easy role to be a mother. It is not easy. But, hey, it's my girlfriend said her mother say, hey, why not you? So let's just do that. Why not you? You know, so you're chosen. God has chosen you. Do the very best you can, and don't try to do it by yourself. Always call on him, and he'll give you an answer. Thank you for sharing. I'll see you at the Mango Fest. Let me just say to the people at the Mango Fest, we are on our way. Mothers and daughters are going to the Mango Fest. It is at the Fort Lauderdale Yacht Club, Tennyson Yacht Club. It's going to be from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. tonight. A lot of music, a lot of food. And Cynthia and I at the mother and daughter table, we are going to be serving mango lemonade. All right, I'll see you there.
Okay, love you much. Bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye. All right, there we go. At the Mango Fest is where we will be. Let's see who else we have here.
We have
good morning. Hello? 240.
What?
Hello.
You got here? You just came on. Hello.
I didn't press one.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. How are you?
Praise the Lord, my sister. You're doing such a fantastic job there today. I'm really enjoying you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. How you doing?
She want me to say something about the subject. You know, Gloria McGuire.
Well,
no,
while y'all get together, I'm gonna move on.
You're doing a fantastic job, and keep the good work up, and let God just continue to guide and keep you in the direction He would like for you to go.
All right. I appreciate that. How's the family reunion?
It's coming along very well. We have the banquet tonight.
Okay. I tell everybody I said hello. Sorry I couldn't be there, but my thoughts and my love is there with you guys.
Okay, baby. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
All right. We're having a family reunion, and I'm not there in Myrtle Beach. So shout out to my family there. We had graduation with my grandsons last weekend, and it just a little bit much for me to go back and forth. But anyway, they are there, and I got my other set of sisters on that end that's holding it up on my behalf at the family reunion. So I'll tell them I said hello, and I'll be there in spirit. Okay, anybody else want to talk? We have a few more minutes here, and you need to click one if you want to join into the conversation. We're talking about godly mothers rearing godly mothers. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. I tell you, I'm just enjoying this. This is just becoming so good. Saturday mornings is the place to be. Okay, we're talking about godly mothers, you know, rearing godly mothers. What's your take on it? This is our co-host, Janice Baldo. Go ahead, Janice.
Hello, everyone. This is really a good subject because, like you stated earlier, we as godly mothers, as we impart into our daughters, and I said sons as well because I have sons, but as we continue to impart and live that godly life before them, a lot of times you may think your children not paying attention to how you may handle a situation or what you may say or what you do. But believe it or not, thanks to God, your children, they do mimic you. Now, as they get older and those seeds that you plant, as they're growing up, they do take root. Even after when your children get older, and they may go astray, but see, when you have plant that eternal seed, I heard someone call the word of God or a deed that you do for God. I heard someone call that this week an eternal seed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you plant that eternal seed in them, it may not grow when you want it to grow, but it will grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen many times I used to volunteer at my daughter's basketball game, and we had a certain age that children could get in free. And we would have parents to tell their children, okay, if they ask you how old you are, you tell them you're 5. Knowing the child is 7,
mm-hmm.
you would have your child to lie to keep that child from paying $3. Now, I know that might be, in some situations to some people, $3 could be, you know, a lot of money. Or at that time, maybe you just couldn't afford it and you was trying to do something for your child. But sometimes we have to, you're trying to get the child into the game or do an outing, but whatever reason, you still got to look at the seed that you have planted because, see, you have knowingly told that child to lie. And then as that you have planted that seed, even though it's a bad seed, it's still an eternal seed that will grow and produce. So when you plant these type of seeds with your kids and then they start telling lies that aren't true or start saying things that aren't true, then you want to punish them. You know, or if you tell your daughter, you know, single moms, you know, to be mindful of the young men she date or don't be fornicating and how to dress. Well, you've got this set example. You can't go out every night with Tommy one weekend and, you know, you have to, I'm talking about godly living. You've got to portray a godly example for that daughter because if she see you doing that, if she see you showing more cleavage than she is and your dress is half thigh, you know, that's not, and then when she gets a certain age, you can't get on her about her choices. So we have to, you know, they're watching us. They're watching us now. They may, even though we may tell them no on this or say certain things, and they may pout and get angry because they can't do stuff that you don't agree, but you have to, as long as it's lining up with the word of God, you have to stick to what you believe in because your integrity and your character will go before you. The Bible says, our character and our ways that we live, that will go before us. Why? Because your character is going to speak for you when you're not even there. Your integrity will speak for you when you're not even there. And when they get older, they'll say, well, you know, Mama didn't allow us to do this, and now I see why. Well, Mama, you wouldn't let me do that, or you wouldn't let me go, or you didn't want me being with that person. And I understand why now. So even though at that time you may have to go through a little storm with them and rebellious and talking back, but in the long run, in the end, they're going to, as this old gospel song said, they will understand it by and by.
Ooh, you better go ahead now. That is the word in itself, yeah? By and by, they will understand it. And you'll be maybe in your 60s or 70s, but they will remind you, I am so grateful you did it the way that you did it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And because of I'm here. Thank you. That's a wonderful word. We appreciate that. And that's the thing that, well, I tell you what came into my mind. See, that's the thing I like about the show is that I will say something, maybe stimulate a thought in your mind, but then somebody's going to say something to stimulate a thought in my mind. And I remember one time I was on the air and I was talking about that same thing, mothers training their daughters how to lie or their children. And they really, it starts with a simple thing like, okay, now don't you tell daddy I bought that dress. You know, if daddy asks you, did mama buy something, you tell him no.
Right.
And then when she gets 12 or 13 and she starts saying, okay, well, mama did it and she didn't tell daddy the truth, so I can do it. Then she's like, you lied to me? I can't believe you lied to me. And that's what I tell one when I'm counseling. Just go back and think back, and when you were coming through this time period, who were you and what were you like and what were you trying to get over on with your parents? And
right.
What came to my mind was I remember there was a thing back when I was coming up called a spread man. We used to call him the spread the spread man, that's the man that came along. You remember the spread man?
I've never heard of the spread man.
Really? Okay. The spread man was the man that sold spreads, bedspread.
Oh, okay.
He'd come to your house, and the main thing was my mother loved to buy these certain kind of spreads and things to this nature that, you know, when you didn't go to the store, you could pay on time. And so, but he'd have other little things, too, as well. But they call him the spread man, so... This particular Saturday, I said, oh, here he comes, and I don't have the money for him today. And I remember that just as plain, and it popped up while you were talking. And I was sitting there, and Mother said, tell him that she's standing behind the door. Tell him that Mother's not here. So I opened the door, and I said to the man, I said, my mother said for me to tell you that she was not here. Said to me, he said, okay, baby, tell your mother I said, okay. And it was, and my mother said, what, you said like that? I said, well, I said what you said. You said to tell him you wasn't here. That was the last time Mother said that. That taught her a lesson. We laughed about that thing until she left here. I mean, it was like Mother said, that told her right there. She knew she shouldn't have told me that, but I said exactly what she said. So you weren't supposed to. Exactly what I said, but you said to tell him you said she wasn't here. And I said, and you know, and she was getting excited with me because I said exactly what she said. And so then daddy got on her about it because daddy's like, okay, well, you don't need to do that then. You just need to tell the man yourself, and then that way you don't have to blame her for saying what you said. So, and it brings about, and I'm sure the audience out there can relate to this because how many times have you. Your mother told you to do certain things, but in your heart and soul, you knew it wasn't right. Even though you were a kid,
mm-hmm.
you knew it wasn't right, but you knew you had to do it because what?
Right.
You didn't spanking. You
mm-hmm.
see? So
that's right.
You would do it. I would do it, and I would look, and I did not want to do it, but my mother said to do it. You know, doesn't make her a bad
yeah.
person. Just where she was at the time, and I've done the same thing, you know, with my daughter, so I'm not, you know, preaching down mother. It's just that, you know, we emulate the same things. And so sometimes mm-hmm. I would say, even to a friend of mine, I said, I don't know why I'm just saying, I'm busy. And I'm going to tell you what really brought me to my attention was my grandson. We were riding in the car with my two grandsons and had so many phone calls coming. And I said to the person, well, let me call you back. I'm in a meeting. Just like that. And Josh said to me, the youngest one, who was probably about 7 at that time, and he said to me, we was riding along. He didn't stand up for a while. Then he looked at me and he said, Nana, why did you tell them that you were in a meeting? I said, because I was going to call them back. He said, well, you know, that just makes me wonder because, you know, if I call you and you say you're in a meeting, then I'm going to wonder if you're really in a meeting. That thing tore me up because I was like, oh, my God. And I had to explain to him. I said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to work on this, you know. And we don't realize that. And he was watching. Now, supposedly he didn't say anything to me. He would have been judging me from that moment on, according to that thought. It really hurt my feelings. Then I was apologizing. I felt bad. And from then on, not saying I didn't do it anymore. I try not to. But Lord knows I'm so much better at it now. I just go ahead and say, you know, this is it right now. You know, I don't have to do all that. I don't know what it was. But, you know, it's just the way the enemy will say, oh, just tell me you're calling back. Oh, just so. We do that. Or look at the phone when somebody calls and don't answer. You know, those are the things that I told God I am working on not to do. If I'm busy, I'm going to work with who I'm working with at that time. So, you know, we grow into godliness, and this is the point. And thank you, Janice, for your comment.
Love you. You're welcome. Love you, too.
Okay. My thing to the audience here is that when we bring these thoughts to you, it's not pointing the finger at you. It's not putting you down. It's not trying to make you feel like you're less than a mother or a good mother. We all have our stuff that we're working on. And Lord knows no one can come up to the plate like Jesus said, whoever, you know, without sin, cast the first stone. If you can't cast the stone, then, you know, we all right here together trying to grow godly together, trying to help each other become the best mothers that we very possibly can. So I'm not here pointing the finger at you because you helped me become a better mother. As I get up on Saturday morning, I have this opportunity to dialogue with you. I'm inspired by your comments. I'm inspired about what you have to say about your relationship with your mothers and daughters. It helps me become a better mother as well. So we are working on it. My daughter and I, keeping it to a point where we know the lines, we know what we need to say, we call each other every day, we water that relationship, we just say, if it ain't nothing, but how you doing? But, of course, that's not our conversations because we're talking 5-6 times a day. And each of us trying to help each other become a godly woman because she's no longer a little girl, and I don't treat her like a little girl. She is a woman of God, and she definitely inspires me to do better at becoming a godly mother. So don't disrespect what your daughters have to say because you're the mother. Out of the mouth of a child, we can learn, and that child means younger than you. Not that the child has to be 3 or 4 years old. That child is younger than you. And therefore, we can learn something from even a 3-year-old. So my take today, that we're going to work on being godly mothers this week, and my challenge to you out there is to put your thoughts together, see how you can help us come up with your friends, your social network, and join as a representative for the campaign in your area to help us bring together 10 million mothers and daughters from around the world. Thank you very much. God bless you. To my family and Myrtle Beach, you guys, sounds like you're having a good time. Enjoy it. I appreciate that you all called in today. It made me feel good knowing that you thought about me. Have a good time. And to the listeners out there at the Mango Fest, we are on our way. Save our table. We're coming. God bless you all. And we are, what, planting seeds to create godly mothers, which will be our daughters today. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.